My name is Rob. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. I'm ready for spring. How many are ready for spring, right? Hey, I'm so honored again to be with you. Pastor Kyle and Bethany are on vacay in Puerto Rico. I think I saw his snap, or not his snap, but his Instagram. They are rocking it in Puerto Rico, man. And you know what? Rest is holy, and everybody should get some. Look at your neighbor and say, get some rest. It's holy. You know what? We're starting a brand new series today here at Elevate City called Uphill Habits. We're going to have fun with this series. Trust me, because I've got some bad habits. Anybody got some bad habits? Well, we're going to break them. We're going to break them over the next few weeks. And I've just come today to help you. I've come to inspire you and encourage you. I've come to get up in your business. Okay? I've come to, now get your toes out there because I'm going to step on them a little bit today. All right? And then we'll heal you up next week. Okay? So here's how we're starting it. I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half the things you do might just as well turn over to me, and I will be able to do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must merely be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of all great people, and alas, of all failures as well. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I am not a machine, though I work with all the precision of a machine plus the intelligence of a human being. You may run me for a profit or turn me for a ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. I am habit. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. In your notes and on the screens, verse number 2, I'm going to read to you from the Message version of the Bible. It says, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You know, most of us have uphill hopes, but we really have downhill habits. And we have to make some shifts in our lives, and we have to make some changes in our lives. Most people have a downhill habit to do, like, procrastinate. Any procrastinators in the house, right? Listen, someday, we say someday, everyone say out someday. We always say, someday things are going to get better in my life. Someday I will be caught up with my work long enough to spend some more time and make some memories with my family. Someday I'll earn more money so I don't have to worry about money and I can pay my bills. Someday, on Monday, I'm going to start working out. Someday I'm going to start a new diet. Someday, I'll have a better relationship with God and enjoy more of his goodness. We always use the word someday. And a lot of times, we always use the word Monday. We're going to start everything on Monday, right? Monday, we're going to start a new plan. Monday, I'm going to be more disciplined. Monday, listen, you have no better time than today. Because unfortunately, a lot of times, someday never comes. Today is the only day we have. You can't do anything about the past. It's already done. And we don't know really what the future holds for all of us either. But let me just encourage you. But we can start doing better today. If you got to change a habit, don't wait till Monday. Don't wait till someday. Start today. Psalms 118, 24 says, this is the day. Everyone say, this is the day. Today, Sunday, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So I want to tell you this. People don't decide their future. They decide their habits, and their habits decide their future. If you want a better tomorrow, you've got to make some significant shifts and changes in your habits today. So number one, to have a better tomorrow, we must form uphill habits today. Today, not tomorrow, not someday. Jeremiah 29:11, this is God's perspective of your tomorrow. This is God's perspective of your future. Here's what he wants for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. How many know sometimes plans don't always work out? Can I tell you sometimes the plans that God has for us, if it doesn't work out like we think right away, I don't think it's God's fault. I think it's my fault. For my problems, not your problems. Right? Now listen. He says, the plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I can tell you it's often the small things that no one sees, listen, that result in the big things that everybody wants. It's the small things that no one sees resulting in the big things that everybody wants. When it comes to habits, it involves a word called, and we don't like this word, at least I don't, discipline. Discipline. I'm not always disciplined in my eating habits. Come on, somebody. I was eating some Doritos last night driving here. I ain't got no business eating Doritos. But I wasn't disciplined enough to say no. Come on. Most people think a lot of times of a habit being only negative. If there are negative habits that can destroy our lives, there's also positive habits we can acquire that can cause us to excel, to succeed, to be extraordinary. You will never change your life until you change something you do every day. And it starts with these little things. Listen, the secret of your great future that God has for you is basically lies in your daily habits. So ask yourself right now, even while I'm speaking, are my habits today going to help me achieve the life that God wants me to have tomorrow? Are the habits that I have given into, are they an asset or are they a liability? You know, a habit is simply this, a usual way of behaving. Something that we do on a regular basis in a repeated way. We all have these little quirks, these little habits. My kids make fun of me. I have this little habit I've had since I was a kid. I love to kind of play with my ear. Right? Weird, I know. I don't know why. It just, especially when I'm driving and I'm chilled, you know. And they'll laugh. They'll Snapchat me. They'll Instagram live story. And while I'm driving and just, you know, throw me out there under the bus and everything. You know, I got a brother. My brother loves, he's in his 40s, man. He loves his pillow. Loves to sniff his pillow, right? I know. Go get it. Go get it. We all got these habits. Come on. You know you do too. The difference between me and you is I'm confessing mine. Right? I got a habit of drinking way too much coffee during the day. Right? Way too much happy. So I did something that I never said I would do. I started buying some decaf. God, that's like cussing, you know what I mean? And I did it just so my last cup of the day would be decaf. You know, and I'm moving slowly on that. But we all have these bad habits. Nothing is stronger than a habit. And I believe that habits are these chains that are too small to be felt at times until they are too strong to be broken. Habits can become stronger than actual life itself. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, habits begin like threads in a spider web, but end up like chains in a prison. These habits that you and I have got to deal with. Okay, and that's what we're talking about. Some people have habits, they're always late, while others are never late. Let me go on. Get your feet out, because this is where it happens right now. Some people always see the problems, while other people see the possibilities. Some people are predictable frowners, while others are predictable smilers. That's me. Okay? Some people have the habit of making your own self look good by tearing somebody else down. Some people have the habit of giving up too early, maybe not telling the whole truth, always taking the easy way out. Some people have the habit of getting angry too quickly. Or how about the habit of always blaming somebody else? Or the habit of feeling sorry for yourself? Or how about the habit of ducking responsibilities? Know anybody like that? Got any kids? Do I need to go on? I'll stop right there. Have I named your habit yet? Your bad one? Okay. You must identify. I've got to identify my downhill habits so I can change and get some uphill habits, because there really are long-term, listen, implications to what we do every day. But it comes down to you and I being honest, first of all, with ourselves and then honest with God about what needs to change. Success often depends on these habits that we have developed. We are what we repeatedly do. That's who we are. Habit is either the best of servants, listen, or the worst of masters. Here's what Isaiah 55 says in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, to our God. For he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Number two, downhill habits are difficult to break. Trust me. Downhill habits are difficult to break. At least for me, they are. You know, my bad habits that I have, man, I'm trying, I'm working on it. And, you know, like we had this thing in our kids sometimes, you know, we have a dishwasher. Anybody got a dishwasher? Pretty cool thing, because when I was a kid, a young teenager, I was the dishwasher. You know, my kids were looking through some albums at my mom and dad's house over Christmas, and there was a picture of me when I was 11 or 12 years old, and I had big yellow rubber gloves on. And I was at the sink. And my kids had the nerve to ask what I was doing. What do you mean, what was I? I was washing dishes. You mean grandma didn't have a dishwasher when you were a kid? Yes, she did. It was me. But my kids got bad habits, and it's this. We've asked one thing in our household to do this. When you're done with your plate, when you're done with your fork, when you're done with your glass, go to the sink, rinse it out, dump it down the drain, open up, look, it's so easy, open up the dishwasher, pull out the top drawer, take the glass, and put it in there on the right side, shut the thing, and then walk away. Is it that hard? But do you realize how many times I've taught them how to do that and talked about it? Every morning I get up, there are glasses on the table, glasses on the bar, plates in the sink, and the dishwasher is empty. I'm about ready to lose my ever-living mind. But my kids have created a habit, minus my daughter, Emily. She always does the right thing. But my boys, well, I was going to. No, they just created a habit of not doing what they are supposed to do. And that is just like us. Repeat anything long enough and it will start to become you. The best time to deal with your bad habit, my bad habit, is right now. To delay, listen, only allows the habit to get bigger and stronger and deeper into our lives. J.C. Penney said it like this: the best way to stop a bad habit is to never start a bad habit. Yeah, I know, right? Good advice. The thing, too, about our bad habits, folks, is that they usually don't show up until much later in life. A bad habit is something you find yourself doing, even though it's something you wish you wouldn't do, right? Yeah. Gosh, why is that? But you find yourself doing it again, and you tell yourself, well, I'm going to stop. I'm going to try to remove that from my life, you know? And we just don't. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Got a bunch of different verses here. I do not understand what I do. Man, thank God somebody can relate to my mess. So thank God somebody can relate to my bad habits and my mistakes and my sins. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I know the good itself, it does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Can I get a witness? Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. It's going to be constant like that going on in our lives. But he said, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. And basically, Paul is saying the result of this is confusion, conflict, discouragement, and then you just feel ultimately trapped. It's like when they elephant trainers train elephants when they're young. They chain their leg and that they can't get move and get out, and they do it over a series of times and days and months and even years to the point when they're older, they think they're still trapped by their leg, by a rope, and can't move. And really, they are free, but they just don't know it. It's simply like this. Any destructive downhill habits will form an unseen chain that will make a slave out of us. Then really, it could destroy us. When I say destroy, I'm not using that term eternally, okay? But it could mess up our lives. So if we feel like we are enslaved to our habit, I got a good news for you. I like giving good news. I do. You know, I hate these billboards. I was in the South pastoring for 7 years, and there's these billboards all throughout the South about, you know, God being mad at you, so you better turn or burn. Right? Really? That's good news? I thought the gospel was good news. And I'm going to share some good news with you today towards the end of this message. But I've got some good news for you right now. If you're enslaved by a bad habit, it could be an addiction. It could be an addiction. Some people, bad habits turn into addictions. Some of us here today have been enslaved to alcohol addiction or sexual addiction or smoke, whatever. We have been bound by it. Maybe some people have been bound by the addiction of lying and cannot tell the truth or won't tell the truth. You may have been enslaved with whatever bad habit you've had, but I've got good news. You can be free. If you say to me, Pastor Rob, I've tried. Man, I've come to the altar. I had somebody pray for me. I've tried, and it's just like I can't do it. That's okay, because Paul says God can help you. John said, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. The God inside of you is greater than the bad habit that enslaves you. And that's good news. Listen, Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Listen, true freedom is not the right to do what I want, but the power to do what I ought. My pastor growing up would always say to us, we don't do what we want to do, we do what we ought to do. Even though we have the right to do whatever we want to do. So I want to tell you, you can be free from these strong habits that have bound you. Number three, this is how we're going to do it. Harness the power of an uphill habit, because listen, the bad habits must be replaced with good ones. How many ever try to replace a bad habit with another bad habit? All right, I won't eat Doritos. I'll go for the Ho-Hos. Right? It's not so much, listen, that we break bad habits. We have to replace them. That is the key, because 90% of our normal behavior is based on what we do every moment of every day. Worry, if we have a habit of worry, I know people that have a bad habit called worry. They worry about everything. They worry about anything. You can talk to them about trust and faith. No, they just, because they feel like, man, if I worry, it's going to make it all better. So how's that working out for you? Has that changed your circumstance? I don't think so. Worry needs to be replaced with what? Faith, trust in God. Negative thoughts need to be replaced with positive thoughts. That's why it's so important for you to have a habit of reading Scripture daily. Not just reading it, but try to memorize one verse a day. Because you can use the positivity of God's Word to combat the negativity of the thoughts that that plague your mind. An old Cherokee Indian tells the story of a grandfather teaching life principles to his grandson. And the wise old Cherokee said to the grandson, on the inside of every person is a battle raging between two wolves. One wolf is evil. It's angry. It's jealous. It's unforgiving. It's proud. It's lazy. But the other wolf is good. It's filled with love, it's filled with kindness and generosity and goodness and self-control and self-discipline. The two wolves are constantly fighting. And the little grandson thought about it and said to his grandfather, well, which wolf is going to win? The grandfather smiled and said, whichever one you feed. Which one are you feeding today? Ephesians chapter 4 tells it like this. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in the understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to what? Put off your old self, which is being corrupted in deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Notice where the habit starts and where the habit can finish. It's in the battle of your mind. The very fact that you keep on doing things a certain way always will get a predictable result. The negative habits, the downhill habits, will always breed downhill consequences. But the positive ones, the uphill ones, will result in something extraordinary. You know, like Jesus had the habit, the Bible says, of going to the temple daily. He made church on the Sabbath. He made it a part of his habit. He made the temple not just once a month. He made it a part of his weekly habits. Daniel had a habit of praying 3 times a day. He created a habit. David had a habit of praising God continually. These are some habits that are good habits, that if we made them a priority in our life, some of these destructive downhill habits could be broken off our lives. We got to get in a different atmosphere so we can change. And when you change and you improve and you replace these habits, you literally will change and improve your life. You can change your financial positions in life by changing your spending habits. Changing the way you treat people can change your relationships. That's why it's important to get into a small group. Well, I'm just kind of introverted and I'm not a people person. And that may be your excuse and why you've kind of just not jumped in. But listen, we are made for community. We're not meant to be hermits. We are meant to do life together. And your relationships will change by you stepping out and connecting even when you don't feel like it. That was free. Change of habit could probably change the atmosphere of your home. Change of mindset by reading good books can change your thought life. Change your philosophy. We got some jacked up personal philosophies in life. We got to change those. How? By reading good stuff. Change of some health habits can add years to our lives. How many want to live longer? All right? Then number four, my last point. Our life gets better when we get better. I'm not talking about being perfect, but I can tell you this. Small improvements in your life, when you begin to practice these good habits, it'll produce good results, good fruit in our life. The scripture says in Matthew 12:33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. I love this. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. For you, for things to change, you and I have to change. For things to get better, you and I got to get better. Come on, somebody. For things to improve in our life, we need to improve. Because when we begin to grow, everything in our life begins to bear fruit, begins to bear fruit and get productivity in our life when we make these improvements. And I know habits. Habits are like gravity. They will either pull you down or take you up. Think about that. So if you could change one habit today, this morning, what would you change? What would be the habit that you would change today? You know, write that in your phone. Bad habits I need to change. Write them down. Print them out. Then go to the scripture. Find out what do I need to do to replace those with good habits. Whatever your answer is today, make every effort to add to who you already are as a person. I love 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort. Everyone say, make every effort. Make every effort. Some of you have been waiting on God to make the effort for you to change. Or I just wish God would take it away from me. Why would he take the habit away from you when he didn't give it to you? You're the one, you and I are the ones that started it. So you know what that means? We got to deal with it. Don't put this all on God. He can assist you and he will help you. But you and I have to make every effort to add. And here's how we begin to break these downhill habits. Add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these habits, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What I just read and what Peter is talking about, those things, goodness, knowledge, love, self-control, they are uphill habits. And whenever our negative habits are allowed to linger in our lives, they steal the possibility of our good future that God has for us. And we need to stand up and say, no, not anymore. Because I want to tell you, our lives don't get better by chance. We can't say, well, I hope things turn around. You can hope all you and I want, but we have to make significant changes and improvements in what we do daily. It gets better, not by chance. It gets better by us making the change. We need to quit being victims of our bad habits. And we need to say today, enough is enough. I need to draw a line in the sand. And here's what James says. But be ye doers of the word. You know, more marriages would make it if we did the word. And I found one scripture that is the key to all great marriages. And we mess it up every day. At least I do. Let every one of you be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. What if we applied those three habits to our marriages? What if we applied those three habits, Cody, to our relationships with people at work or people in our small group? Let's be swift to hear. No, not us. We're not swift to hear. We're putting up with whoever's talking so we can hurry up and say what we want to say to them. And we don't even listen. We need to ask God, let me be a good listener. Let me keep my mouth shut and let me listen to my spouse. My wife would always say, are you listening to me? Yeah, babe. Yeah, hon, I'm listening to you. Well, what did I say? She gets me. Well, I got a lot on my mind. Stop and be a good listener and then be slow to speak. Don't be such in a hurry to say what you feel like you need to say, because once those words come out of our mouth, can't take them back. They are gone. I've said stupid stuff before. Can I get a witness? And then don't get so angry. Man, some of our tempers over the littlest things. We have a bad habit of getting angry too quick. Sometimes over the most stupidest stuff. So your kid spills the milk. Really? You're going to get that angry over it? Hello? Am I talking to somebody here today? I know. But we have a bad habit. James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you just do that, you deceive yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away. At once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, well, listen, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. There is the key to changing your downhill habits and going and make them uphill habits. Being a doer of the word of God. What does the word say about my life? What does it say about my circumstance? What does it say about my situation? How should I respond? You know, Jesus jacked everything up, you know, when it comes to, like, enemies. You know, in the Old Testament, man, if you had an enemy, man, it was like, just kill him. Right? But Jesus comes on the scene, and if you read the Sermon on the Mount, I'm preparing a series on the Sermon on the Mount, because that goes against modern day Christianity. Because we don't pray for those who despitefully use us. We don't pray. We don't love our enemies. Matter of fact, we put things on Facebook. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Jesus has a better way of us living a better life. Can somebody say amen? Come on, can we put our hands together for what God has done today? Did I help anybody? All right, amen. I'm going to get ready to close, but I want to pray for you first. And I want to pray that you be released and set free. And that the Spirit of God helps you today from bad habits. And then I also want to share some good news with you. Here's the good news. You ready for this? It's not repent, turn, or burn. Here's the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world. If God doesn't condemn the world, why are we condemning the world? We have no business as believers, as Christ followers, to condemn anybody.
Well, you know they're doing this kind of sin.
Doesn't matter. Our part is to love, just like God loves, and God loves. Okay? While God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So number one, God loves us. And then number two, he's not holding anybody's sins against them anymore. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not holding people's sins against them. David said, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed my transgressions. So I've come to tell you two things today. God loves you, and your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven, and God doesn't hold it against you anymore. And all you have to do is receive that. He said to repent. Do you know what repent means? It doesn't mean, I'm sorry, God. Repentance means to change your thinking. And I'm going to ask you today, right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, because this is between you and God. If you said, Pastor Rob, I believe God loves me. I believe he's no longer holding my sins against me, and I am forgiven because of the cross. I'm going to change my thinking because I have not thought that way. I've always thought God's holding this against me. God is hurting me and holding this stuff against me. And I want you to right now, God, I believe. If you say, I believe and I receive, would you lift up your hands right now? I accept what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. Amen. Oh, Father, I pray and I thank you right now that we've accepted what you did on Calvary. We honor you today. We receive forgiveness. We believe that you've forgiven us. I thank you for the hands that went up today. And I just ask you, God, to change their life and their habits in Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. Come on, give God another praise for that, will you?